Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
What is fire up? Well, for those of you who were not present last week, fire up is basically the six worthwhile attitudes that we want to instill in all of us here in Coos as disciples. And these qualities, you realize that when it's applied correctly, not only will define us, you and I, as a disciple, what it means to be a disciple, but you find that it is also useful in other arena of our life as well. So before we proceed any further, can I just engage you to do a quick recap of this acronym on fire up? Let's really say it with fire, okay? What's F? Well, I. R. E. U. And P. Yeah, okay, you guys must be fire up, yeah? Now last week, if you recall, Senior Pastor Daniel began by speaking on the first acronym on faith. And basically, when he talks about faith, he's challenging us that we need to have that faith to overcome any obstacles or difficulties that we may encounter in our everyday life. And we do this by making plans and setting goals so that we can move forward. Now, of course, we realize that sometimes not all of that we plan to achieve will automatically succeed. The key here is, of course, to completely trust in God. To have faith also implies that we need to take certain risks. We need to be creative in the things that we do. And this is not being reckless or foolhardy, but rather it is an attempt to try new things and new methods. And for today, our time this evening, we want to continue in this series. And today I want to focus on the second letter, which is I. And this is really, as we just mentioned earlier on, is to focus on integrity. Now, granted that integrity can rather be a very sensitive issue, okay? But nevertheless, this is a topic that must be addressed. Alright, so for this evening, I'm going to cover a few areas. We're going to firstly look at the definition of integrity. We're going to look at the demand for integrity. We're then going to look at the delight of integrity. And finally, the decision for integrity. So we begin then with this definition. What is integrity? How do we define this word? Well, in truth, you find that there are many ways to explain this virtue. But perhaps the best way to look at it is to look at the words that are associated with integrity. And some of the words that are associated with this includes words like truth, includes words like being forthright, sincere, and even authentic. And so when you have all these words, you find that the opposite is therefore dishonesty and hypocrisy. All right. And so when you correctly understood, you find that integrity here is an attitude that determines whether you and I will live right or wrong. It has very much to do with you being true to your own self as well as you being true to others around you. In a few moments time, we're going to talk a little bit about this. But now we're going to look at why is integrity so important for you and I. Well, let me propose to you three reasons here. And the first reason is simply why integrity is important is because the world is lacking in integrity. You know, just about a month ago, my wife put about a few hundred dollars in her wallet and then she went out to the nearby shop to buy something. But when she came back, lo and behold, she discovered that that amount of money that she put in her wallet had somehow slipped off and it was lost. Now, if you were in a position, of course, you would feel very distraught, isn't it? So what she did was she decided to go back, retrace back a step all the way to the shop, hoping that perhaps along the way she may find the amount of money. And then, you know, when she went to the shopkeeper, asking the shopkeeper, did you find any amount of money? Of course, you would know that the shopkeeper would say nothing. Yeah. Well, that didn't deter her. So she decided then that she would then go to the police station to make a report. At the same time, hopefully that, you know, there'll be some kind soul who perhaps found the money and then, you know, would perhaps give it to the police station. But again, the same result. There was nothing. The next day, undeterred, she decided to then go back to the shop and again go back to the police station in the hope that this time, someone really did found the money and return it back. But again, the result was nothing. You know, I even know of some people who come and tell me and say that, you know, Pastor Derek, if I was to find some money on the floor, I would take it for myself. I would take the reason they give is that, you know, well, it's my gain and their loss. They look at it away as though it is God blessing them. And so you find that really, integrity, with this story, you find that integrity is truly lacking in our world today. And you find that it's not only lacking, that you find that it is very important in every aspect of our lives as well. And let us first consider that integrity in our relationship. You know, in 1979, probably you won't know this singer, you probably won't know this song, because 1979, many of you, maybe all of you not yet born. Huh? But anyway, in 1979, there was a singer and songwriter, his name is Billy Joel. He wrote this song, and part of the lyrics of the song goes like this. He says that, if you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might as well be blind. It always seemed to be so hard to give. And then the chorus goes like this. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, but mostly what I need from you. So needless to say, the title of the song is simply entitled Honesty. And if you listen again to the words of this song, I think we can all agree that Billy Joel got it right. Because when you look in the world today, you find that far too many marriages between a husband and a wife hit the rock and ended up in divorce simply because there is no honesty or openness in the relationship. Friendships between two persons turn sour due to a lack of integrity, where perhaps one of them failed to keep a secret. And you know, in the Bible, we are told that in Genesis chapter 20, verse 5, records of this incident where Abraham almost lost his wife Sarah to King Abimelech due to this lack of integrity. No wonder it is important that you and I, we need to establish an honest and open communication, not only if you're married with your spouse, but with your family members as well as with your friends. You find that integrity must also be present in the school. You know, the story was told of two brilliant students. They were due to take an organic chemistry at the university that they were studying. And having done well in their work and in the lab, they were both going to the final exams with solid A's. Well, so far, so good. But trouble was, they were so confident that they decided to party the night before the big test. Well, it was a very great night. They enjoyed themselves, and one thing led to another. And next thing they knew, they ended up sleeping late the following morning. And so by the time they finally awoke, the exam was over. Disaster. You know, but this two group of guys, being inventive young people, they thought of a foolproof plan. You know what they did? They went to the professor, they explained to him that they'd been visiting a sick, out-of-town friend the night before. And on the way home, they unfortunately encountered a flat tire, you know. And so with no spare tire at the back, they were stranded and they only managed to hitch a ride back till mid-morning. As a result, they missed the exam. And they even added to the professor, you know, that they were looking forward to this exam and wondered if they might be able to take it perhaps later on in the afternoon. Now the professor thought about it for a moment and then decided that, okay, since they didn't have time to discuss the exam, you know, with the other students, he agreed to let the two students take the exams. So after a short lunch, the two of them sat for the exam in separate rooms. And as they opened the booklet, the first question for 5 marks was easy. But as they turned to question two was simply this: which tire? And the marks, 95 points. Well, what this reveals is that, you know, when you're caught in a lie, there is no way out. You see, when you are not honest, it is impossible for anyone to trust you. Can you imagine? Most of you are students. Wherever you're studying in the place of your education center, Can you imagine the place there, the institution, where everyone lacks integrity? You know, the degree that you're going to receive is meaningless. And as a result of that, you find that all the hard work that you put in will only be compromised. And thirdly, we also find that integrity must also be present in our workplace. In our nation. Certainly, we find that recently we just celebrated Singapore's 51st year of independence. Yeah, and as a nation, we have come this far simply because our government have a strong sense of integrity. And this is put forth by our forefathers. And when you compare to most third world countries where bribery is common, and as a result of this, the people suffer. Therefore, it's very important that you and I, as citizens of Singapore, we need to continue to pray for our leaders that they may be righteous and serve with integrity. And what I'm very encouraged is just a moment ago in part of your service, you're all coming together as a young group of people, you're willing to pray for the nation. Now, if you were to pause and you were to consider all that I've said just now, what you will realize and what you can conclude is that the missing key in all of this example is the need for sincerity and truthfulness. Because you'll find that without integrity, as I already mentioned, relationship breaks down. Without that integrity, your work will get compromised. Without that honesty, nations will end up corrupted. But this brings us then to the second important reason why integrity is important. Why? Because integrity is the issue of the heart. You see, young people, ever since the fall, the Bible tells us that sin has entered into the heart of man. And if you read Genesis, you know that starting with Adam and Eve, mankind through the ages then, they have been struggling with this problem of integrity. This has ultimately led to all sorts of situations, like the fear of what others might think of you, or what others will say about you. You know, there's been the issue of pride, self-denial, as well as that not willing to accept any form of criticism, judgment, or correction. And so we find that really, integrity here is the issue of the heart. And no wonder the scriptures tells us in Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 19, where the prophet here describes the heart this way, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and it is desperately sick. However, at the same time, it must also be said that the opposite is quite true, isn't it? That if our hearts are pure, our actions will also generally be pure. And so only with integrity will our daily actions and our words will then line up with our heart value. So integrity, number one, is important because it is lacking in the world. Number two, because it is a heart issue. And number three, integrity has to do with the God that you and I serve. You see, our God is a God of integrity and truth. And this is why integrity is so crucial for us here in the church. In fact, it must be part of our discipleship. As disciples of Jesus who have witnessed the truth, our lives must manifest and portray this honesty in whatever we say and do. We must therefore strive to become people of integrity. You know, in my many years of ministry, I've come across those who are not growing in their walk with God. They may be Christians for a very long time, but because, you see, they fail to exercise this integrity, and this integrity here includes being true to yourself and being true to others, their spiritual growth remains stagnant. So now we want to talk about what does it mean to be true to yourself and true to others. Let's look at the first one. What does it mean to be true to self? Well, I believe being true to self speaks of that humility. It speaks of that willingness to recognize ourselves for who we are. And you know, church, one of the particular areas that we need to be real, that we need to recognize, is our emotions. You know, there are many Christians who I believe they have forgotten how to express their feelings. Why? Because somehow along the way, they have been taught that Christians should never get angry. That expressing sadness, expressing hurt, expressing grief, these are just signs of low faith or shallow character. But you know, if you do contrast this to our Lord Jesus, you read that on one particular occasion, that at the death of his very good friend Lazarus, Jesus displayed such deep emotions and feelings. John chapter 11 verse 35, which is the shortest verse in the Bible with only two words, states that Jesus wept. That upon discovering his good friend Lazarus had died, Jesus wept. Now listen, Jesus broke down, he cried openly, and he did so in public. So don't hide the struggles that are going on inside of you. Very often I will come across this conversation between two people, where one will ask the question, how are you doing today? And almost 80 to 90% of the time, the reply would be, I'm fine. But you know, in reality, they only say I'm fine, but they have a crisis of some kind within the family. And one possible reason why they give such a response is because maybe they don't want to burden the person who's asking the question. You know, they feel that, you know, it's not your concern, so it's alright. So I just say, it's fine. Or maybe they find that the person who's inquiring is just being too kepo, you know, too inquisitive. But if you stop and think about this, this is not being honest. Instead, when the question is being asked, the person of integrity should answer truthfully. Now, even if you choose to remain private, you ought to express that wish. And I'm sure that the other party would respect that and not probe any further. Next, we also find that we are true to ourselves. Not only when we recognize our emotion, but secondly, when we also recognize our own strength, our weaknesses, and our needs. Yes, God has created you and I uniquely and differently. But here's the thing. Though we are to honestly acknowledge our own limitations, note that this does not imply that we should be content with it and not do anything about our limitations. Again, if you're here last week, you'll be reminded that we have been challenged, that we must be willing to have that faith to rise up, to take up the challenge and to overcome our limitations. So for instance, if Pastor Peter maybe approach you to start a new cell or maybe to go for that mission trip that you are just talking about, you know, and you being true to yourself, you say, you know, today this sermon, Pastor Darren said that we must be true to my strength and weakness. And so you state down your limitation and say, I'm not ready to go for mission. Well, it's one thing good to identify your struggles. But what's equally important that you also don't stop there. You need to make the attempt to overcome this particular area of your weakness by equipping and training yourself up. We need to be true to our strength and our weakness. And being true to ourselves, thirdly, also means that you need to be true to your faults. You know, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, in teaching his disciples about the discipleship, he says this, that we must take the log out of our own eye. Or for that matter, you need to remove the nail from your head. And again, I've seen that many people have often tell me, you know, that after listening to a sermon or when they read the Bible in a quiet time and they see themselves being reflected, but somehow they just stop there. They hear what the word is speaking about them, but they don't act on the revealed faults. If you think about this, this is again the lack of integrity. It is very much like what James writes in his book in chapter 1 verse 23. Now I would like to read this for you. James says in chapter 1 verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer. He is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So what James is saying is this. If you don't act on your fault, you are like the person who looks into the mirror, who sees your faults, and you don't do anything. You see, integrity will enable you and I to see where we have gone wrong. Integrity will free you from Satan's lies about yourself so that you can grow in your walk with God. So what's important for us this evening is that we must not just hear, we must not just know of our faults, we must be willing to do something about it. And as I just read for you in verse 25, the moment you act upon it, you will be blessed. Now let's talk about being true to others. Being true to others simply means that you are honest with the way you deal with one another in the decisions that you make as you follow through. So simply put, being true to others means you must be willing to keep your promises and your commands that you make with one another. And I want to give you just some, perhaps some experiences that you can relate to help illustrate what it means to be true to others. So let's say within your cell group, you have a member who is, always like to ask a lot of questions, and one day, you know, he gives you a question that is so difficult that you don't have the answer. Now what do you do? You go to Senior Pastor Daniel, okay? Or maybe you go to Pastor Peter, alright? But when you come to a situation like this, when someone asks you a question and you don't have the answer, what do you do? A person of integrity will humbly reply that, well, okay, I don't have the answer, but I tell you what, I will go and find out the answer and tell you next week. But here's the thing. How many of us do that? Or perhaps you come across someone within your cell group and there's a prayer need. Many times we respond that, okay, we hear the problem, we will pray for you. But you know what? Most of the time, we sometimes forget and even end up not doing so. Now young people, let me say this again. Having integrity simply means you must be true to your words and you must keep it. Again, listening to the words of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37, he says this, let what you say be simply yes or no. Also in James 5, verse 12, the author echoes the same thing. James also said that, let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. In other words, you and I need to be accountable for our words. So if you say that you will find the answer to the question or that you will pray for that person, please ensure that you do so. Because that's integrity. Another example of being true to others is how we keep our time. Again, you know, I've known many people and I've been victims of people who often make appointment to meet me at a certain time, only for the individual to arrive half an hour later or maybe more. We must start making certainties that the way we are living backs up the words that we say. And there's more. Being true to others also involves honestly admonishing others, those who are at fault. And for instance, you may know of someone living in sin. If you're honest with that person, you must admonish that person. Now, of course, this can be tricky, yeah, and it's not easy to accomplish. After all, you think about it, no one wants to be the bad guy. But if you have integrity, and the motivation here is for you to turn the person back to Christ, then this action must be taken rather than avoided. And finally, may I add, that we are true to others in our witness. Let me ask you this question. I want you to ponder for a moment. When newcomers or guests comes into our service every week, when they visit KOOS, what is the impression that they will get of you and I? What will be they thinking about the church? Would they go back after the service and say, Christians are just a bunch of fakes. They are mostly a bunch of hypocrites. Or would they go back saying, KOOS youth are people with integrity. They have compassion. You know what? They tell the truth. You can count on them to shoot, straight with you. In reality, you will know that those who step into the doors of our church, they are able to detect signs of phoniness. They somehow are able to determine whether you and I are authentic or not. And you know, if they can sense the signs of deception within us, and they feel not welcome, they will reject the church and they will leave. So really the challenge for us is that we need to be authentic. Well, I've argued a lot for the demand for integrity in our lives. Now we will move on. The delight for integrity. And you find that when you have integrity in your life, the Bible stresses for us that we will reap three benefits. And the first benefit is found in Psalms 25 verse 21, where the psalmist says that may integrity and upright preserve me. So in other words, when you have integrity, you find that you have God's protection. Why? Because as I already mentioned, God is a God of integrity. And if you are His people, you are people of integrity, God will protect you. Second reason, second benefit, is that there will be great security in your lives. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says that whoever walks in integrity walks securely. This confidence will ensure that we will do what is right and what is proper. So when we walk in integrity, we need not worry about the shaky foundation. You know, think of the person who lies and then lies to cover up the first wives. You know, he will end up more lies and thus his foundation is not strong at all. Alright, so you find that when you have integrity, you have that security. And thirdly, the Bible also tells us that with integrity, integrity will always guide you. Proverbs 11 verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them. So now the question that I want to ask you before we close, and it's a very important question that you and I need to answer of ourselves. What is our level of integrity? How do we measure up to it? You know, if you've been following the Love Singapore 40 Days of Prayer booklet, if you turn to the date, August 1, you'll find that there's a list about what we can do to be people of integrity. And this is really a reality check for all of us. But for today, I just want to state down some of at least seven things for us to consider today. Let's look at them up on the screen. Number one, what are you like when no one is looking? Are you saying one thing and then doing another thing? Number two, how do you treat others who can't benefit you? Are you biased against others? Number three, how sincere or humble or transparent are you with others? In other words, here is asking the question, are you open to your emotion with others? Do you keep your word? When you say that you will do this, you do it. Or you don't do it at all. Number four, are you the same person in public and in private? Number five, do you quickly admit your wrongs? Do you allow people to correct you? Do you allow people to tell you where your faults are? Next, do you subscribe to the absolute moral standards of God in His Word? Are you open to allow God to reveal where you have gone wrong? And lastly, do you talk to people about them behind their backs? And I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we close our time. And as the worship team minister to us in music, what I want us to do is this. I want you to take some time now to pause. And I want you to reflect on those seven things that are up again. Can you just flash them up on the screen? I want you to just look through these seven things again. Are there any areas in your life? Maybe it may not be one of the seven things here. But are there one area in your life that you have been compromising? I want you to honestly ask God to show you where it is and ask God to change. Why? Because we want to do business with God. Because our God is a God of integrity. Our God is a God who sees. He knows the areas in your life that you're struggling in. So church, as the music, as the team begins to just slowly minister to us in music, I want you to just bow your heads, or if you want, just continue to look through, alright, those seven questions up there. If the Spirit is speaking to you, what is it that you have been compromising? What is it that you are lacking, the area that you are lacking in your integrity in? Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Thank you, Jesus.
when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come.
Yes,
Lord. Long just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. Oh, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have decried. And you search much deeper
Bible tells us in Acts chapter 5 of this tragic story of Ananias and Sapphira. Because these two couple, they were dishonest. And they claimed that the proceeds given to the apostles, to the land that they have sold, was the actual amount. They lied. God struck them down dead. I think this is something that we cannot ignore. Because this story clearly tells me that God does not like dishonest people in His church. So how are we, Kusyu, how are we as a young people of integrity? You know, if you go through the list again, if you're guilty of any of them, the question is, what can you do or what can you change? If you truly desire to be a people of integrity, you need to start to do something right now. You have to deal with the small little things, or the little foxes, as we call them. You know, you think about it, a cat burglar doesn't automatically become a cat burglar just like that. He becomes a cat burglar by starting small, yeah, like pickpocketing. And then as he gets away with the little things, he becomes bolder. And then he moves on to engage the bigger stuff. So today, it's vital that we deal with it at the early stage. If we truly want to be people of integrity, I want to end by giving you the following applications. Number one, start by asking God to test your hearts. Yeah, remember, integrity begins in our hearts. You need to know what the condition of your heart is like. And only when you God is able to reveal that to you, can you then make that change? Will you be willing to therefore take off the mask and reveal your true self? Number two, once you have done that, will you follow this up by studying what is true? And this means knowing what integrity looks like. And you know, we can only know this when we spend time soaking in the Word of the Lord. So spend time, young people, reading the Word. As you read the Word, you know that God is true. You know what God requires of us. And finally, we need to apply God's Word in our daily activities. We walk in integrity by simply being doers of the Word. We must live up to what we say. So young people, as we close, can I invite you to just rise? We're going to sing this song once again. And as we sing this song, I want you to make it a prayer before the Lord. Yeah? Would you ask God now, as He has revealed to you, you strip away the thing that is causing you not to be honest. Ask God to strip away the area in your life, the pride, you know, the area where you do not want to be corrected, the area where you feel that, you know, you cannot take that correction at all. Ask God to just strip it away clean from you. And as we sing, let's just really make it a prayer and allow God to minister to us. AJ.
Sing when the music begins.
Sometimes we are disappointed with people because we feel that they are lacking integrity, but it's always so easy to excuse ourselves. But today, let integrity start with us. The kind of people that God is looking for are those who are like Jesus, full of truth, full of purity. The kind of worshippers that God seeks are those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So Father, tonight we thank you for your word that brings about conviction of all our unrighteousness. We thank you for your spirit that cleanses us. We thank you for the example, Jesus, that inspires us. We thank you for the hope that you give to us, that we can be transformed by your love. Father, we know the challenges in our lives, the struggles. But as we come before you in honesty, in brokenness, we thank you that it is you who can change us, God. So tonight we commit ourselves afresh to you. And we say, let God be the one that rules in our hearts. Let God be the one that rules over our attitudes. And let God be the one that renews our minds. So that in every way, both in the deepest recesses of our hearts and in our actions, that we will always honor you, God. Thank you, Lord, that our lives can be a testimony of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that our lives can be truly pleasant worship unto you. Thank you, Lord, that it is you who will make all this possible. Because it is first of all you who have laid down your life for us to cleanse us, to fill us and to empower us. And so all God's people say, amen, amen. You know, as you go, continue, right, to remember every word that the Lord has spoken through Pastor Darren tonight and to apply it. All right, shall we just thank Pastor Darren even before we go? Thank you. And God bless you. We'll just see you next week, all right?